Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of Talking Puck, the podcast. I'm Tom Callahan, at Callahan on Air on Twitter, joined as always by Jay Levin. He is at Bowtie Sports on Twitter. And Jay, we are coming up on the NHL draft. Now, they're going to announce expansion tonight for the league, and Las Vegas is in. They will be the 31st NHL franchise. We'll talk about that more tomorrow after the details come out. We'll talk a little bit about the expansion draft, but right now, this weekend's draft in Buffalo has a lot of intrigue coming into it. I don't know that it's up in the air whether or not Austin Matthews is going to go number one overall. I think that the consensus is he will. He's going to end up in Toronto. But what I'm more curious about, and I look forward to kind of picking your brain about a little bit here, the movement that is going to follow it. How many teams are going to flip draft picks? How many teams are going to try to either move back to pick up a guy that they valued later in the round, or how many teams may try to move up into a top three, top five situation to grab some guys? I think we're going to see, based on even the trades we've had coming into this week and the number of picks that have already moved, I think we're going to see a lot of movement.
Well, first of all, welcome Las Vegas, 31st NHL team. That should become a formality here in a couple hours. Perhaps by the time this is actually posted, it'll even potentially be official by then. As for the draft, I mean, every year you hear a lot of talk about this is the year when all these picks are going to be moved. This is the year when everything's going to go haywire with moves. Some years it pans out that way. Some years it doesn't. But the chatter is almost always there year in, year out. So you're right. It will be an interesting one to look at. It sounds like the top three picks are pretty well solid. It sounds like it's going to be Matthews number one. It sounds like it's going to be the two Finns, second and third. Then from there, it sounds like things get a little bit more interesting. But hearing scouts talk, hearing different draft pundits talk, this sounds like it's a very good first round. It sounds like it's a solid second and third round. So I'm not sure if there's going to be a ton of movement, because the value you'd have to give up might be too much in order to make a move. You know, if you really value a guy at number five, number six, the cost to move from, say, a 12 to a five or a six might be too cost prohibitive based on the fact that your scouts are probably telling you, hey, we're going to get a good guy here at number 12. So I don't know if it's going to turn out quite as much in the first round. I can see the potential for a lot more movement in rounds two and three, though, as teams get more towards specialty spots in their draft boards and as teams are still looking at guys who can play within the next couple of years and have long careers in the NHL.
Allow me to play a little bit of devil's advocate here, but because it is such a deep draft, does it make it easier for teams maybe to then drop back? Does the asking price, I'm not going to say it drops, but is it easier to make a deal? Because if you're, say, Columbus at three, Edmonton four, Vancouver five, we've heard shopping their pick, do you make the move to drop back to an eight through a 12, knowing you're still going to get a good guy, and maybe you'd take that pick and a second rounder? Or, you know, Toronto and Buffalo come in with a ton of picks into this draft. Toronto's picking first, Buffalo's at eighth. I can't help but wonder if teams might be a little more willing to part with some of what they have, knowing that, hey, it is a deep draft. Hey, if we back up three or four spots in one round, we're still going to do just fine.
Well, I mean, there's some specifics that you have to try to take a look at here. One, looks like Lane's going to go number two, right? I mean, that seems like the consensus, correct?
I would think so. I think you'll have Patrick Laine and then Puljujarvi will end up in Columbus if Columbus stays on three.
Well, Columbus, you've got a Finnish GM who has a strong affinity for Finnish players. For him to move off of three, you've got to imagine that you're going to have to just blow them away with an offer. And if you're looking to move from five or six, it's probably going to take more than two first-round picks to just move up the three or four spots, is that really worth it in terms of building a team?
And for Columbus, coming into it, obviously their need is a center to replace Ryan Johansson. That's really what the target has been coming in. That's where they say they want to go and come out of it. So if they're going to move out of that number three position, I'm not saying they're going to, but if they did, they would have to bring back a number one center, in my mind, would be the only thing that would really, I think, entice them to get off of that pick.
So to me, I don't see a ton of movement there in the top three. Then you start getting into some differences in how some teams start to see the draft board. Is there a possibility for movement? Yes, that there always is, but I think the top 10 is likely to stay fairly flat. You could start to see there in the middle parts of the round, you know, potentially some teams moving. Here locally in Nashville, David Poyle's already said that he's more likely than not just going to stay where he is. He feels comfortable in the spot. He thinks the cost to move up is too high. He thinks that moving back might jeopardize them getting a player or potential for players who they're really comfortable with. I think a lot of GMs are going to read the board around the same there. Now, when you get to guys who, when you get towards around maybe 27, 28, you start getting to guys who are dropping on your projected team boards. That's where I think you can start seeing some real interesting stuff. Another caveat to throw in here, Tom, is draft picks and prospects who have completed their second year of pro experience. Those are guys who are going to be expansion draft eligible. So, do you start taking a look at those as being potential trade chips if you're tight on guys who you're going to project to keep? Do you maybe start taking a look at moving those to get a late first round pick this year, to get an early second round pick this year, and have a guy who would not potentially be exposed to the expansion draft?
I think we're silly not to think that GMs are already looking at it. I mean, knowing what the expansion draft rules will be, looking ahead to knowing, I mean, it's going to be announced today or will be, but maybe by the time you're hearing this podcast, Las Vegas is in. And to that end, yes, you've got to think about that because you're going to need to strategize who you're going to expose, who you're going to need to have there, whether it's goalie, defenseman, forward. There's a lot that's going to be going on, and there will be some very good players who GMs are going to have to figure out ways to either deal and get a return for that won't have to be exposed for assets, or they're going to have to maybe get creative, or you may lose a really good player. Some teams are going to find themselves in that very situation, especially the ones who I think next year at the trade deadline, and here let me throw this way too far out, the ones who end up going for it, because you're going to have a lot of players that you wanted to keep, that you wanted to hang on to if you go for it, and whether you win the cup or not, you're going to want to hold on to a lot of those players. So it's going to be interesting to see how it's all going to play out. I don't see why you don't start that process now. One other team I wanted go ahead.
So when you take a look at some of that, when you get towards the end of the first round, a team like the Predators, could they start dangling the Kevin Fiala? You know, a guy who was a highly thought of prospect, hasn't quite been able to break into the NHL, but has shown some scoring ability in the AHL. Could you see a guy like that dangled late in the first round to potentially try to move in, or packaged with a second round pick to potentially move up into the first round? I mean, that's where I think you might be able to get some very interesting trade offers starting to float around here in this year's draft.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the bottom of the first round. Florida's at 23. They've got a lot of young players that I think they'll want to protect. I don't know that they'd be a buyer, but in Anaheim, maybe a Dallas. Then you've got Washington, Tampa, St. Louis. Boston has the Sharks pick at 29. Anaheim has Pittsburgh's from Toronto at 30. So Anaheim's got two picks there late in the first round. Do they come off one of those? Maybe. You know, Nashville, as you mentioned, is sitting at 17. There's a lot that could float around within that bottom of the first round, I would explore looking into it. And just to kind of segue into one of the teams I wanted to talk about here with Edmonton, Edmonton's going to be looking to pick up a defenseman if they can, especially a right-hand shot defenseman. If they're able to make a move, do Edmonton's picks come into play in this draft maybe early on? Now they're picking fourth overall, and then they're not picking again in the first round, and so then they end up picking second, they're 32nd overall in round two. Does that pick come into play? Does Edmonton start to look around a little bit and maybe say, hey, we'll try to flip a guy who, if you're a team with a lot of defensemen that you may want to protect a year from now, do you entertain taking that number 32 for maybe one of your top four?
Well, Anaheim is a team who has said it's looking for more skill up front. They've got some depth on defense. They've let it be known that they're willing to talk with some of their defensemen. On paper, there's potential for a match there. You know, a lot of it probably depends on how highly Edmonton values those forwards. I mean, they've collected a lot of early draft pick forwards, you know, through the years, guys who are supposed to be game changers, hasn't moved the needle for them, wins and losses. How highly do they view a Taylor Hall? How highly do they view a Ryan Nugent Hopkins? How highly do they view a Nail Yakupov? I mean, if they're looking at those guys as guys who need to bring back a top five pick in return, I don't know if they're able to move them. If they're looking at those as parts of a package that they could put in to get a number one or a number two defenseman, then yeah, there definitely is the possibility to move one of them. But man, defensemen, especially around the time of the draft, seem to be tough to acquire.
Well, and thinking about all of this, heading into the draft, obviously there's a lot more even in play than we're covering here, but knowing that there is an awful lot coming up for these teams looking to make moves, guys looking to shed salary cap issues, you know, like Detroit and Datsyuk, which we talked about yesterday, and other players around the league, I just get the feeling that there's going to be a lot of wheeling and dealing heading into the draft. One thing, I just want to end the podcast on this note. I think this is a interesting little nugget, if nothing else. So the pick that Nashville got from Buffalo in the third round, they are the sixth team to hold that pick in the calendar year 2016. Originally Minnesota's, that went to Florida, New Jersey, Anaheim, Buffalo, and now to Nashville, that number 76 pick. Interesting. We'll see who that player turns out to be. So, Jay, we've got a lot to cover. We'll talk expansion tomorrow, and I know we barely scratched the surface of the draft, but anything you want to close with?
You know, I think this is going to be a very interesting weekend out in Vegas. Obviously should be exciting news for the locals there, and then scene shifts to Buffalo where the Sabres have a ton of picks. You know, teams who host the draft tend to like to make a splash. So, you know, I think both of the host cities, Vegas for the awards, Buffalo for the draft, could be making really big news this weekend.
Buffalo, one of those teams that it's been thrown out there, they may be trying to move up to get Tkachuk, maybe as high as fourth overall. So we'll see. We'll see how it all pans out. But again, we thank you all for listening in. You can check out our blog at talkingpuck.wordpress.com. I'm Tom Callahan, at Callahan on air. He is Jay Levin, at Bowtie Sports. We would appreciate the Twitter follows. And until next time, we'll talk to you a little bit more hockey on Talking Puck.